You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll learn about a Milwaukee-based project that's bringing together spirituality, social justice, and community. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Dean Kinetter is with me. You count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations. We count on you to help keep these conversations on the air.
Listener support is the largest piece of funding that makes this show, Central Time, and all the other programs you enjoy possible. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Last hour, we heard from 11 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those gifts. And right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match going up to $3,000. This generous match is from current members, including Gene, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR. It means they're going to match every dollar you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. These are always great times to give, really a good opportunity. Double your support for the programs you love by giving now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars, which do come from listeners like you, provide really important funding for WPR programs. But voluntary listener contributions are actually the biggest piece of support for WPR programs.
That's right. It is you that makes the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to. You can do that at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Hey, it just got a little easier to showcase your Wisconsin pride. Today only, ask for your WPR t-shirt and mug bundle. Our 2022 Ooh. Light blue shirt and ceramic mug share a design that celebrates sunny days spent outdoors in Wisconsin with your favorite public radio station. Do it now, though. This special offer only available today with your gift of $20 a month or more. You can do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
That is really cool, Rob.
I mean, it is.
They're both good. If you like the shirt, you like the mug, you're having a tough time choosing, today's your day.
You can drink out of the mug while you wear the shirt.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you didn't even put
New
that together yet,
breaking,
did you,
Rob?
Dean? No.
No, my mind is expanding as we speak. There are a lot of things, Rob, to love about Wisconsin beyond those two. It really is a beautiful state. There's parks, forests, rivers, some of the best things about living here.
And we like to think of WPR as part of what makes Wisconsin special, like a natural resource, something that's available to everybody, something that's fundamental to life here in Wisconsin. With your gift, you keep WPR a strong resource that everyone can enjoy. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
WPR is personally important to you, and it's probably also important for you that everyone in the state has access to that resource, this high-quality information and entertainment.
So become a member right now with a contribution of maybe $10 a month, $120 in one lump sum. You're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something great for the whole community. WPR is listener supported. That's why your participation is such a big deal. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect this hour, up to $3,000. That money is still on the table. It means that this hour only, if you give $50, it turns into $100. If you give $100, it turns into $200. You can double your support right now, and it's no better time to give. You can do it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your support will go twice as far.
And today only, ask for the WPR t-shirt and mug bundle with your gift of $20 a month or more. Join in right now to secure your magic combo at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, think about becoming one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make the ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can set that up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Gail in Richfield. Gail says, I love the wide variety of programming. WPR is the best entertainment out there. Thank you so much, Gail. Even within our talk shows like The Morning Show and Central Time, Larry Mueller Show, we try to have a lot of variety of topics and tones, some serious stuff, some fun stuff, some stuff that connects us all, shares our common interests. If you value that, give now to help support it. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. Orders of Catholic Sisters are aging and shrinking in many places. When convents close their doors, religious orders have to decide what to do with their land and their buildings. The Catholic Church is the world's largest non-governmental landowner. There's not always a central resource, though, for these religious orders who are looking to downsize. That's where the Milwaukee-based organization Nuns and Nones steps in. That's Nuns, N-U-N-S, and Nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They're taking a new look at the ways that church-owned properties can be transformed into spaces that benefit the community and, in some cases, carry on the mission of the original institution. Sister Eileen McKenzie is president of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in La Crosse. Sister Eileen, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Brittany Kotelis is director of the Nuns and Nones Land Justice Project based in Milwaukee. Brittany, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's start, Brittany, with the name of the organization, Nuns and Nones. I spell it out, N-U-N-N-O-N-E. Could you tell us the story behind the name?
Yeah, thanks for spelling it out. Helps people grab on. Nuns and Nones was started really as a place of encounter between Catholic sisters and millennials often, but just people with a very diverse range of spiritual affiliations, often who also identify as activists. Our generation is the least religiously affiliated generation in the United States. So that kind of earns our nickname for checking none of the above on the religion question. And the Land Justice Project grew out of this work after about 5 years of building relationships, organizing, and creating dialogues and encounters between these groups about spirituality, justice, and community. And through that work, we realized there was another bridge to build, which is between the world of Catholic sisters entering into property discernment and the climate justice movement. And it's really creative ways that it's building land access to use for regenerative purposes.
And Brittany, can you talk about the kind of transitions from, say, a Catholic convent land to what? What kind of things do they transition into?
To a Black farming cooperative, to an indigenous an indigenous-run cultural and habitat restoration program, to cooperatives that are doing work to restore and regenerate the land in ways that also build back our local food systems and really build climate resilience, especially for the communities that have been most impacted by climate change, people of color and poor and working class people especially.
Sister Eileen, what led you into working with the Nuns and Nones Project?
Well, we've been affiliated with the Nuns and Nones for years now. We're affiliated with just several different, you know, places in society that that are discerning just movements toward more dignity and more sacredness of life and creation. So as we've been working with them and discerning with them in different ways, this particular project, the Land Justice Project, is right in line with what we're doing in discerning next steps with how we share what we've been given with the rest of the world. Our own congregation has been doing land justice work for decades. We find that, you know, we're Franciscans, and you know, Mother Earth is completely sacred to us, and we're in relationship with her in many different ways. And we have a spirituality center that kind of cultivates that spirituality in Iowa, and we have here in La Crosse a very special piece of land. At our Villa St. Joseph, where we're focusing on integral ecological education and how to partner with people in the area. And so we just see that this is a natural deepening relationship with the nuns and nuns, where we're learning together what different opportunities are out there and how to support each other in just creating creating an earth community that is more just and healing.
And Sister Eileen, I think people might think of a religious order, a convent, and ecology doesn't necessarily pop into their minds. Land justice might not pop into their minds. Can you connect the dots between the two missions?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are a lot of religious sisters that respect Mother Earth. I mean, we are part of creation. Catholic social teaching teaches how important, you know, care of the earth is, and just as much as care of the poor. In fact, the Pope's recent Laudato Si, is the teaching out of that is that it has to be integrated, care of the earth and care of the poor. In fact, I believe that he even mentions how Mother Earth is the new wave of the suffering poor. And so it's not uncommon to see religious sisters very aware of the intersection between people who are poor in the street, and they're not having access to healthy food. They're not having access to garden plots, you know, to even, you know, garden their own food. They're intricately related, and I think that sisters are in the forefront, actually, of raising this awareness.
We're talking to Sister Eileen McKenzie and Brittany Kotelis about their work for the Nuns and Nuns Land Justice Project. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our look at an effort to connect spirituality, social justice, and communities. Nuns and Nuns Project leaders Sister Eileen McKenzie and Brittany Kotelis stay with us. Brittany, I want to talk a little bit, kind of on a concrete level, of how the Land Justice Project works. If, say, an order comes to you and says, we've got this land, we don't want to just, you know, sell it for development or something, what's the process of figuring out the best ways to use it for your mission?
Yeah, so I mean, picking up on what Eileen shared before the break, I think sisters are coming to this work with such a deep legacy of looking at care of earth and conservation of land. I mean, I cannot count the acreage of land that Catholic sisters have helped conserve, protect, turn into eco-justice centers. I learned about permaculture from the Adrian Dominicans in Michigan. I mean, so, you know, that's what we're starting with. And when what we want to do, and you know, we're starting a big course this spring to support sisters in property planning, because right now it's almost like we just want to expand the options that sisters are seeing as possible for their properties. They're already coming into this, you know, wanting to make the best impact on our ecology as possible. Depending on the financial reality of the community, selling might feel like the thing that they have to do. And then conservation feels like the other door. And we're trying to say, there's actually a lot of creative mixing and matching of lots of other doors that we can open. What does it look like to fundraise with partners so that a, you know, regenerative cooperative can afford to buy land, but they're gonna need a 2-year window to do that. What does it look like to put the land into trust and you know, bring a cooperative on it to start stewarding part of the land. So we're really looking at continuing sisters' long legacy of protecting and conserving land with expanding, and this is the important part, equity and access for communities who have been historically denied land or from whom land has been stolen historically in the case of our indigenous peers. So we're really trying to, you know, it's not a one size fits all thing. We can't give you the white paper on what to do with your property. But it's actually about, you know, connecting the web of relationships between sisters who really care about this and have been doing this already with a climate justice movement that is in real time figuring out new ways to deprivatize land, protect it, bring regenerative stewards on that are going to capture carbon in healthy soil and create the food systems that we need while expanding equity and access. And that part is really, really important. So that's the kind of educational opportunities we're trying to create.
Sister Eileen, I'm really curious, at a personal level, for sisters who might have worked at one of these institutions for decades maybe themselves and know it's got this history and tradition going back maybe decades before that, what does it mean for them to know that even though it's not going to keep being the same thing that they lived in for so long, that it's going to achieve the mission, but maybe in a different way? Sister Eileen, do we have you? Oh.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry, Rob.
That's okay.
I think that you just underscored the important point in this, in that this is just another aspect of our mission. This isn't that we are divesting of things because we're not in the convents anymore. This is a sign of the times. This is our new wave of mission that's emerging. Catholic sisters have from the very beginning been looking at what is the call, how are we called to be present, to share gospel lives, to share love, to create the world in essentially to share the goodness, if I might use a very basic Franciscan understanding. And we've done that historically here in the United States by a long history of healthcare, by a history of education and pastoral work primarily. And now we, as there are congregations who continue in that and are doing wonderful work, there are congregations that are exploring the edges and are learning and are discovering new emergences that are coming with the signs of the times. And again, I keep going back to Pope Francis and the challenge that he offers religious congregations, which is go to the peripheries, you are needed. What are the signs of the times? It's about equity. It's about reconciliation. It's about human trafficking and freedom. It's about sharing, you know, it's really core sharing of the goodness and those of us who have been given or inherited properties in different ways, how do we share that with those who have not? And this is one of the ways that we're continuing to learn what we really sense is the call of the Spirit in justice and peace.
And Brittany, in just our last minute, can you tell us your hopes for the Land Justice Project in the next couple of years?
Oh, in 1 minute. I mean, I'm in this work because of the relationships that I think are possible. Connecting these worlds and seeing what we can create together. Seeing the lands that sisters have cared for help cultivate local climate resilience, while also healing generational harm that's been done because of the way that we've gone about land for the last 500 years. That to me is the next, that's what I know that sisters care about seeing in healing our ecologies and healing the racial injustice that is alive in the world today. And so seeing their legacy alive in this new way, that is what I dream of.
And we'll leave it there. Brittany, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Sister Eileen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure.
We've been talking to Brittany Kotelis, director of the Nuns and Nuns Land Justice Project, and Sister Eileen McKenzie, president of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in La Crosse. They are with us today to share the work they're doing to conserve land no longer needed by religious orders. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Your gift makes a huge difference because listeners like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Dean Kinetter joins me now. Dean, we got this dollar for dollar match going, right?
We do. It's an exciting time to give. It's really the perfect time to give because we have up to $3,000 on the table right now, meaning your gift of any amount will be doubled. So your gift of $20 turns into $40, $100 into $200. This is a match from current members. It's their way of kind of inspiring you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Take advantage of this match. Double your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
How about that last conversation? We heard this effort based here in Wisconsin, where people from different faiths or no faiths reach out to work together, connecting people with nature, people from different backgrounds with one another. One of the many ways we look at the ways that people build communities, sometimes in surprising ways, here in Wisconsin. It's an example of the kind of conversation you can count on here on Central Time.
I really enjoyed hearing about that program. It was people in Wisconsin doing something new to help their community. And it brought to mind a similar type of thing from a little over 100 years ago, when the first public radio station got started in Wisconsin with the effort of helping the community. 100 years later, we're still going strong, and that's because we're listener supported. It means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all these conversations possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Whether you've given before or you're making your first ever donation, think about signing up for ongoing monthly gifts.
Choose the amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It takes just a few minutes, and once it's set up, your support for the programs you value will always be current.
And when you make that gift this hour, until we hit that goal, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar. We heard from Ruth in Mequonago. Ruth says, I learned so many different things from the guests. I also know that it's up to us listeners to support public radio. Thank you for all you do. Ruth, thanks for listening, and thanks for getting it and understanding that you can help pay for it. And Emily in Madison says, in this day and age, great local news is more important than ever. WPR is my primary source for local news in Wisconsin. Emily, thank you. How about you? Make your gift now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, range anxiety is an obstacle for sales of electric vehicles. We'll find out what infrastructure changes would be needed to help EVs become more widespread here in the United States. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Dean Kinetter joins me now. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this upcoming conversation about electric vehicles and all the other stuff you count on hearing here on the Ideas Network. Your support makes it happen, because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is a great time to give this hour, because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. Just about $1,000 left of that match. Current members, including Gene, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR, will be doubling every dollar you give. It's their way of supporting you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now. Take advantage of that remaining money at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As an Ideas Network listener, you could be anywhere in the state. We hear from you from all over the ideological spectrum, all ages, geographies, you name it. But there's one thing that I think I could say about you personally. You like to know stuff. You like to learn things. You like to find out what's going on. You like to find out interesting stuff that you could talk about and think about. Well, we're right there with you, exploring all the angles here on Central Time.
And we're grateful for your support. It makes all the stories and information and conversations you hear on the show possible. So give now. It really makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Once in a while, you actually get more than you paid for. WPR is one place where that's true every day. Think about a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
$2 a day. It is hard to buy a lot for $2. But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 makes a lot of things possible. News, talk, music, and more. That works out to $60 a month. And you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you support WPR, you power the essential news and refreshing entertainment your entire community relies on. That's something to be proud of. Today only, show off that pride with a WPR t-shirt and mug, available now for $20 a month. This comfy light blue shirt and white ceramic mug feature a navy design that'll showcase your love of Wisconsin and WPR. It's only available for $20 a month today. Ask for your t-shirt and mug bundle now. Here's how.
You can do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Dean Kinetter on the Winter Member Drive. Your support makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift gets matched right now. Whatever amount you choose to give is the right amount to give.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you make a gift, you'll have a chance to say why you're giving to Wisconsin Public Radio. But if nothing else, your gift says something like, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. Fill in the blank here. There's a lot of variety to love on Wisconsin Public Radio. Whatever it is, the feeling is powerful. And you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Looking for now $900 to hit that dollar for dollar match. We can get there with your help. We heard from Lisa in Oshkosh. Lisa says, I listen to WPR every day and I always learn something. Balanced reporting, amazing topics, shows that make me think, laugh, and sometimes cry. WPR is the best public radio station in the country. Lisa, thank you so much for listening, for supporting, and for your very kind words. How about you? Join Lisa, show your appreciation for what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, and help make it happen for years to come. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Ford has been pushing its all-electric F-150 pickup truck and Mustang Mach-E models. Chevrolet joined the electric truck conversation during the Super Bowl with an ad for a redesigned and all-electric version of its pickup, the Silverado. Just two of the companies making the case for their electric vehicles. But EVs are still a small percentage of the vehicles on American roadways. The cars and trucks themselves, they're just part of the story. Another big part is the infrastructure, including the charging stations those vehicles need. U.S. Secretaries of Transportation and Energy Pete Buttigieg and Jennifer Granholm tackled the issue last week. They announced that $5 billion out of the new infrastructure law would be available for states to develop their own charging stations. Buttigieg was in Illinois last weekend touring a new electric vehicle and energy storage facility near the town of Normal.
There is a strong policy role to make sure that the EV revolution happens quickly enough to beat climate change, that it happens on equitable terms and benefits every American, and that it is a made-in-America electric vehicle revolution.
Jack Kerfoot is a scientist and energy expert, author of the book Fueling America, An Insider's Journey. Jack, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon, Rob. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Well, the transportation secretary there mentioned an electric vehicle revolution. I think a lot of people have been waiting for it and expecting it, and it's been a pretty slow revolution. What do you think so far of the pace of EV penetration of the American marketplace?
Well, let me first start off with a fun fact that General Motors began producing electric trucks in 1912, but they shifted to combustion engines due to the availability of inexpensive gasoline and also limitations of batteries. I think what we're seeing now is technology is coming along that will be more cost effective, certainly lower operating costs, and we will see the cost drive people move very rapidly to electric vehicles. All the major automobile companies have been investing billions annually in electric technology for many decades. And international companies believe that e-cars are the future, and obviously they base that on what they think the people will buy. GM has even announced they'll stop making gasoline-powered vehicles in 2035, which is a bit amazing considering they were developers of, or one of the early developers of, combustion engines. So I think America will abandon combustion engines, and I do mean use the word abandon, for electric vehicles when two things happen. First of all, when e-cars' charging time is similar to that of the time it takes to fill a tank of gas. And when that happens, and we will see, it won't have to be the cities or the states building charging stations. We'll see fast charging stations appear at every major gas station on the interstates across the coast. Other factors will also influence people will be the increasing cost of gasoline and diesel, and I think we'll see gasoline top $5, $6 a gallon within a year, and also the price for new e-cars will be the same as a combustion engine. So the economics will be better to buy an e-car than a gasoline or a diesel-powered vehicle.
Here's another challenge that may be holding people up from getting going electric. I want to listen to Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm speaking with reporters after this press conference last week.
We want people not to have range anxiety. Then we will have a phase where we really focus on rural areas. We focus on areas where we haven't seen a big uptake in electric vehicles. Maybe they are in urban areas. It might be poorer communities.
Let's talk, Jack, about that range anxiety. Two parts of the equation. First of all, the vehicles themselves. What are the trends we're seeing on how far one charging can get you?
Well, the CEO for General Motors, Mary Barra, announced last year that she fully expects that their vehicles will be able to go over 500 miles on a single charge by 2025. Now, the other factor we have to realize is that if we look in Europe, we see that they're called fueling stations. Of course, the distances between towns and cities is much shorter than most parts of the U.S., but they have charging stations and gasoline and diesel charging at the same station. We have to realize that the gasoline stations in the U.S., and there are over 240,000 of them from coast to coast, basically already have the land in place, and all they have to do is then install the charging station. And if we can get a quick charge, they will certainly do that. We have to realize, too, that when it comes to a gas station, especially on the interstates, 85% of the revenue that these little gas stations generate isn't from the sale of gasoline. It's from the sale of soft drinks and munchies and lottery tickets and sundries that people go in and buy while their car or vehicle is being charged or refueled.
Now, we have this plan from the Biden administration saying we're going to take $5 billion out of the infrastructure plan. States, you apply for it to use it to help build up this kind of infrastructure, these charging stations. Do you think that needs to happen, Jack? Do we need a federal boost to get charging stations, especially in maybe those more out-of-the-way places?
Well, it will help to a degree, but we have to realize what are vehicles right now being electric vehicles being used, and that is usually primarily around the metropolitan or around their business area. I'd rather see the money spent is in evolution of battery technology so we can shorten the cycle time. Companies are already saying they've got models that are being tested right now that they can get a full charge on their battery in less than 10 minutes. And when we're talking about less than 10 minutes, then we can drive in, simply plug in our car, go inside, get a cup of coffee, and come back and then drive off for another 400, 500, or 600 miles. So to me, this will happen naturally when we have technology, and the technology is very close at hand. And I would definitely agree that I want to see the American nation or our country be a leader in not only battery technology, but also electrification technology.
Talking to Jack Kerfoot, author of the book Fueling America, An Insider's Journey, looking at electric vehicles in the United States, new federal effort to boost them. We asked on the Ideas Network Facebook page what people thought about electric vehicles, what it would take to get them to buy them or not. We heard from David, who writes, if you could go to a station, charge up, or switch out a battery bank and be out around the same amount of time you could get gas, I would buy one the next time I need a car. And David goes on, long-distance travel is limited in an electric car. As soon as it is about the same, I am there. Well, Jack, that's a comment you made earlier, if we can get to that faster charging time where it compares to filling up the tank.
Absolutely. That's a key component. Now, there are certain sectors of the U.S. People that are driving in large metropolitan areas can take advantage of these charging stations because that's usually where the states put their charging stations in high population or high density areas. On the Pacific West Coast, we can drive from British Columbia and Canada all the way down to Southern California with an electric vehicle. I drive a mini electric vehicle, and there are numerous charging stations, and you can get an app or multiple apps that can show you which charging stations are available and are they fast charging or slower charging stations. So that technology is already available on the West Coast. But if you try and drive east of the Rockies with an electric vehicle, you're hard placed to find a charging station that will allow you to get from point A to point B. So the spacing, especially large distance driving in more rural areas, that right now is an impediment. But again, I'll come back to our gasoline stations today, when they make the change with new technology of battery charge, fast charging stations and new batteries, that will jumpstart the move to electric vehicles in the U.S.
We heard from Michael, who writes, I'd switch if they could support longer distances so a road trip is feasible, if there were more charging stations. Also, most motels / hotels, electric vehicles can't be charged. So for us, Michael says a hybrid makes the better choice. A lot there. Let's get to that motel-hotel idea for those people who want to be able to use it on a longer road trip. Do you think we'll start seeing chargers at the places we stay on the road?
Well, actually, what they can actually do, it's called a drip charge, which is just a charge. That's what I have on my vehicle. So I just plug it into my 110 outlet on my in my house. And so I get a full charge. I plug it in at night, and I get a full charge the next morning. So if he's overnighting in a hotel or a motel, he can almost certainly find a 110 outlet that he can run the cord from his car into to the drip charge. But the fasting charging stations, you're seeing that in the large hotels. The major hotels, the high-end hotels certainly, have fast charging stations in most of the major cities in the United States. Places like Houston, certainly Los Angeles, Portland, New York, all across the U.S. in the large metropolitan areas.
Jack, I don't know if you're a football fan, but watching the Super Bowl, a lot of money went into advertising these electric vehicles. It seems like this means something. Is this a cue from the auto industry that really we're on the verge of this thing taking off?
Well, I am a football fan, and yes, I think what it's telling you it is that that's where they see ultimately that we will get to in the not-too-distant future. And when you have someone like General Motors saying, we're going to stop making gasoline-powered vehicles by 2035, that's a compelling statement. It says the future for combustion engines is going to basically ebb and disappear, except for perhaps car shows to drive out the antique Ford Mustangs and Corvettes and exotic cars that are still running on gasoline. So I think that's the message, is that's what the automobile companies see, and that's based on their assessment of economics and the buying public and availability of the technology.
And in just our last minute and a half or so, I know another obstacle you touched on briefly earlier is the cost of electric vehicles. Where do you see that trend going?
Well, right now, with the state and tax, federal tax incentives, it's about equal. But the CEO of General Motors, and I know that Ford is looking at the same thing, which said by 2025, the cost for a comparable electric vehicle to a combustion engine vehicle will be the same. So we're talking about 3-4 years, the prices will be the same. And, of course, the operating costs on an electric vehicle are $300 to $400 less per year, not even fuel considered, but things like oil change and tune-ups, because they have far more movable parts than the 18 parts that move on electric vehicle. So very quickly is what I'm saying.
Jack, thanks again for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Jack Kerfoot, energy expert, author of the book Fueling America, An Insider's Journey. We talked to him today about some of the challenges and solutions associated with bringing electric vehicles to a wider market here in the U.S. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Dean Knetter joins me. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for Central Time and all the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. In fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. This drive is your time to take action. You make it all possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now for the next few minutes. This is from current members, including Jean, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR. It means that your gift will be doubled. There's still about $700 of this match left to go, so make a gift right now and watch it go twice as far. It really is a great time to give. You can do so at WPR.org or on the phone at 888-202-2552.
Just had a timely conversation about electric vehicles, a new announcement from the Biden administration, lots of ads on that Super Bowl. It's an example of the kind of timely, important conversation we bring you each and every day here on Central Time.
And those conversations are listener-supported, like everything at WPR. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes those topics possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Great time to give right now, because if you give in the next few minutes, you can get your gift matched dollar for dollar. And today only, you can get the 2022 WPR t-shirt and ceramic mug combo. It's a light blue shirt, a white mug. They show a simple image of sunbeams over a Wisconsin landscape. And of course, the name of your favorite station. Show your sense of adventure in Wisconsin. And with WPR, this special thank you gift bundle only available today. It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the host and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
You can join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Dean Knetter. Your support right now of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps Central Time and all your other favorite programs going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
You might be thinking, hey, I like WPR. I value it. I want to give. How much should I give? Well, that's up to you. Your contribution of any amount is going to be turned into great programs, programs that'll keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. When you do, you play an essential part in funding the programs you count on each and every day.
WPR is truly listener-powered. That means that member drives like this one are an important time to hear from you. And if you haven't donated to WPR before, we'd love to hear from you right now.
Any amount you give makes an important difference. Giving takes just a few minutes of your time. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Make a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120 all at once. When you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
And that gift of $10 a month or whatever amount you choose will be doubled in the next few minutes. That's because we
have a dollar ticking on that, Dean.
It is only about 2 minutes left this hour. We have a dollar for dollar match in effect. Still some money on the table. So get your gift doubled. Get on the phone at 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org and make that gift go twice as far.
And today only, ask for the WPR t-shirt, the new t-shirt and the mug, a bundle, those two, with your gift of $20 a month or more. Get yours now with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, a big thank you. Maybe make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Renee in Rice Lake says, Central Time is my favorite time to listen to WPR. Rob Ferret is one of the best hosts around. Aw, thank you. So knowledgeable and so easy to listen to. Aw, making it seem almost effortless to host, although I know it's not. It's not. It's some effort. Thank you so much, Renee. Let's just keep reading that. No, you can give now like Renee did, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552. Thank you so much for your support.